It's Thursday, the day we read from your emails. Our coverage of the race for the Democratic presidential nomination has brought in a flurry of comments, including this one from Adam Seymour of Dallas, Texas. "Please, please," he writes, "stop devoting so much time to campaign strategies, the possible meaning of poll results, and the, quote, electability of candidates. Instead, I ask you that you keep your focus on the real issues and how the candidates differ from one another. I feel sometimes like the presidential campaign is covered like a horse race. Please give people something more to think about."
A similar sentiment from Kevin Tepke of Columbus, Ohio. He writes, "What gives? More than half the people you've interviewed say the issues are the most important thing in the election. However, most of your coverage is on where the candidates are and the results of the elections, rather than the candidates' positions on the issues."
Our coverage of the transition to digital photography prompted a number of you to snap off these comments.
Jill Stoll teaches black and white darkroom technique in New York City. She wants us to know that while she's embraced digital photography, it's no substitute, she writes, for watching an image appear in a Treya developer for the first time. That is a magical moment.
Chris Joan of Kettering, Ohio, sent this reflection. "Now that we can instantly review the photos we take, it is easy to erase an image we don't like just moments after it's shot. Film captured every moment, good or bad, and often it's the things we don't see immediately which turn out to be historical gems." He concludes, "It is important to remember what could be lost when we press the erase button."
Our coverage of yesterday's House Energy and Commerce Committee hearing about obscenity and indecency on television brought several comments. Listener Nancy Mosen writes, "I was disgruntled to hear of the FCC being grilled by Congress about decency over the air and on TV. Get real. I substitute teach with junior high school and high school age kids. The so-called obscene words are common coin amongst the youth of America, to the point that whatever shock value they may have once had is now gone. Do we want the F word and the others to be powerful again? I think it's better that these words have been emasculated by overuse."
And Hank Myers of Bellevue, Washington, was amused by a bit of our reporter's language, specifically her use of the phrase "explicit innuendo" to describe banned language. He writes, "I will add that to a list I have of phrases which already includes jumbo shrimp and military intelligence."
And we had no idea the controversy we'd stir up when we called robo-warrior Charles Tilford and asked him about the problems with the various Mars rovers. Tilford builds robots that fight one another here on Earth. "I've never heard such drivel," writes Michael Nightingale of San Francisco, "as the insulting speculation that the Europeans' rovers are attacking American spacecraft. It was not amusing, it was just a bad idea and totally infantile. Get a new editor."
Well, then there is Sue McPherson of St. Louis, who offers this theory. "What if, instead of fighting, our spirit has fallen in love with the Brits' Beagle 2, and they are over the hill making whoopee?"
Love us or hate us, you can send your comments to atc@npr.org. Let us know where you're writing from and how to pronounce your name.